Hare Krishna. Dobrodošli. Kako si? Hvala. U redu? Dobro. Today's class is in Slovene. No way. Okay. I wish I could speak Slovene though. But it will take some time. Today we're supposed to speak about Advaita Acharya. At least that is what Ananta Prabhu told me to do. So, Om Gyana Timiranda Sya Gyana Gyana Shalaka. It takes so many times to test my Sigurvay Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Vam Kadama Yam Dadati Sopadantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigatpate. Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari. Vishabhanu Sita Devi Panamami Hari Priya. Vancha Karpata Rubhishtha Kipasini Veva Chapati Tanam Pravani Bhiva Vashya Vivir Namo Namaha. Mukam karoti vachanam pangalanga yate girim yaki patramam mandi siguru natarina paramananva. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadara Sivasari Gauru Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I've made a little note here and there. And we were trying to look at them together. Then we were trying to talk about Advaita Acharya Prabhu. I made notes of dates I cannot keep in my head. So Advaita Acharya was born in 1433 AD. As the year 1355 in the Saka era. I cannot put that date in my head. So I wrote that down. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And his former name was Kamalaksha or Kamalakanta. He had two wives. Two wives, Sita Devi and Sri Devi. From his two wives, he had Achyutananda, Krishna Das, Gopal, Balaram, Swarup, and Jagadisha Misra, and Shamadas. Now, there are two different aspects. According to Prem Vilas, he was born in Shantipur. But some other books say something else. Now, the beautiful thing about Shantipur is, because I remember some years ago, there's, I think it's today actually, devotees from Mayapur go to Shantipur to do food for life. If it's not today, I can't remember the day, but we go to Shantipur, to his birthplace, and where he has his deity and his small bhajan kuti or temple or whatever. So we go there to do food for life for the Damvasis, those who are from there. And it is said that if you feed the dam verses on that day at Shantipur, that you will never take birth again in this material world. And there were lots of them. Plenty. There was this big pot we had, like so many big massive pots behind. It was Khichri and Papadam. There was thousands of liters of Khichri that day. And everyone was serving. Everybody. sannyasis, brahmachari, everybody was serving. They just sit down one big open field there in Chantipur. There was kirtan going outside, and in the fenced area, we were serving prasad. I can't remember if it was his appearance day or was another day. I can't remember the day exactly, but it was one day in particular that if you serve prasad at Chantipur, I can't remember the day, but I'll remember. Anyway, so we went to Chantipur, and we saw his deities, and it was amazing. And someone was just showing us that back then, the Ganga used to come up to that point. But now you don't see the Ganga until you go to Mayapur. So it shows how much the Ganga has also moved back. And people say the Ganga will still move back more. How much more, we don't know. Anyway, let's continue. Okay, so one interesting thing about each of the Panchatattva manifestation is that somehow or the other, it's in the, I mean, usually, but which is not always the case, most forms have an internal swarup. But in the Panchatattva manifestation, we notice something interesting, that some of the forms have double swarup. Like Chaitanya Prabhu is Radha and Krishna. Nityananda is Ananga Manjari and Balaram. Advaita Prabhu is Shiva and Mahavishnu. But today we're talking about Advaita Charya, so we'll focus on Advaita Charya Prabhu. Now, Advaita Charya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, because Mahavishnu's function is to create the cosmic manifestation. And if we all remember the story, for those of us who know, how Advaita Prabhu sat down and by worshipping Shalagram with Tulsi, he was shouting every day and praying and screaming that, you know, if anybody can deliver people now, it has to be Krishna himself. And just by worshipping Tulsi and Shalagram with Tulsi and Ganga water, and crying and praying intensely, he was able to call down the Lord himself to come and advent as Chaitanya Prabhu. So he is actually, in one sense, the creator of the Sankirtan movement. He created the Sankirtan movement because he called Chaitanya Prabhu, who started the Sankirtan movement. Now, Mahavishnu does that. He creates the cosmic manifestation. Now, because Advaita Charya Prabhu, he's practically not different from Hari Krishna himself, that's why he was able to help in the propagation of the Bhakti cult, or the Sankirtan movement, in that sense. There were so many pastimes, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Advaita Prabhu. Usually, it is said that there's always this loving quarrel between him and Nityananda Prabhu. They were always teasing each other, always attacking each other, but not with animosity. Always, constantly. And it is said that if you don't understand and you take sides with one of them, it will be a big offense. But they were constantly quarreling, constantly. Advaita Prabhu would tell Nityananda how he's lost, he's just wandering up and down. Nityananda Prabhu would tell him, you know, you're just old. In fact, you have no sense of direction. But the point is, if you take their words as it is, and pick sides, Chaitanya Prabhu says, you'll be committing the biggest offense. Don't interfere. Just let them be. And it was so deep that it was difficult for most of the followers then to understand. And if we draw some lights from that, sometimes it's also interesting that in the dealings between some devotees, it's just not easy to understand the depth. And usually the same thing applies when you see devotees having dispute or problems. It's also wrong to take sides. You know, it's better try to see if we can find a resolution, or try to see how we can have peace. If it's a real dispute, that's back to us now, not on that level anymore. And the lesson we can draw from that is, it's in no case whatsoever should we take sides when devotees have dispute, no matter who we think is right or who we think is wrong. Because, you know, every relationship amongst devotees it doesn't start now. We might think, oh, this is the first time we're all sitting together. But the truth is, we've definitely sat together at some point, at some place in time when we cannot remember. It's not by chance that we're all gathered here today. Nothing happens by chance. So having that in mind, it is very obvious though that whatever interaction we're having now did not start now. There's definitely more to every relationship we see now. There's a lot more. Anyway, back to Aditya Prabhu. So there's an interesting pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to have lunch at Aditya Prabhu's house. There was so much food. Usually, if you read the description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, just by reading, you start feeling hungry. Because the way they describe every single dish, there was this, there was rice, there was that, there was this. You can, when you count, it's like, man, how did they cook all of this? You know, and Chaitanya Prabhu, as a sannyasi, came to have lunch at Aditya Prabhu's house. And I think it was Aditya Prabhu's son-in-law, if I'm not mistaken, his son-in-law, who saw Chaitanya Prabhu eating. And he said, how can a sannyasi eat this much food? And he started blaspheming and picking and criticizing. And he said that Aditya Chaitanya Prabhu was so furious that he picked up a stick and ran after him. He was going to break his head, but you know, the guy was very fast. He was younger, way younger. So he ran away. And Aditya Prabhu was really, really sorry that this incident had occurred. Now, but the beautiful part to note is that it is said that Aditya Prabhu he passed away from this world at the age of 125. And that was 25 years after Chaitanya Prabhu left. So try to imagine the age difference between him and Chaitanya Prabhu. It was wide. But he said that out of etiquette, Chaitanya Prabhu will always offer respect to him because he was way older, definitely. But he, deep down inside, always knew that, you know, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and this doesn't change anything. Yeah. So he also had a wonderful relationship with Chaitanya Prabhu. Okay, going further. This is not what I want to talk about today, but we'll pick up a little bit and get to where we want to go. Okay. If we have... There's something I want to harp on a little bit today. I'll just read a bit and then I'll explain. Say, although Sri Aditya Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and throughout all his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle, although they also belong to the category of Vishnu. If Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Aditya Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within the material world, people will have become greater impersonalists, monists, and self-worshippers because they already had become under the spell of this age. And this is interesting because if Nityananda Prabhu was an avaduta, he was not bound by any rule. He could do whatever he liked, whenever he liked, however he liked. And there were some things that he did that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very careful that people did not focus on, because he could easily, I think if you read, I think it's Chaitanya Bhagwat, if I'm not mistaken, some of this interesting pastimes are there. Now, but this verse is trying to explain something, that if they had all acted in their full capacity as Vishnu Tattvas, there would have been some problem. Now, not problem in the sense of not in the sense of a negative problem, but it will have been too much potency, and people will have, I mean, impersonalists to be specific, will have taken that as, how do you say, as a reason for them to promote their self avatars. So, even though Advaita Acharya Prabhu was Vishnu Tattva, even though Nityananda was none different from Krishna himself, they both had to take a lower position so that there could be that stability. Even though each and every one of them had the full potency to act on the to act and exhibit all their powers as a Vishnu Tattva. Now this is very interesting in this Rasa Tattva subject, because different times, different situations, we see different avatars with different personalities acting in certain capacities that we don't really understand, and we're like, but if this person had this capacity, if this person was non-different from Krishna, why was he acting like this? Why did he not act in another way? But the simple answer is, you know, we cannot have two masters in one boat. You know? Or how do you say, two captains? There has to be one boss. Even though you're as good as the boss, you know. And an interesting example to that is in Ram Leela, when Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmi were supposed to come, sorry, in Krishna Leela, because Ram came before Krishna, in Krishna Leela, Balaram says, you know, last lifetime was not interesting. I had to follow you everywhere. I had to do everything you said. My life was not interesting. So this time, I'll be the elder brother. You'll be the younger brother. We'll switch places. Okay, fine, it's all good. But even as the elder brother of Krishna, in Krishna Leela, we can see that that didn't diminish the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like here. Even though Advaita Acharya Prabhu was physically way older, even though he prayed for the Lord to descend, that did not diminish the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a very good example of that back in Krishna Leela is when the battle of Kurukshetra was supposed to happen, Balaram knew that Krishna wanted the Pandavas to win. He was indirectly, directly on their side. Even though he said, I will not fight. But Balaram knew that Krishna would definitely support the Pandavas. Now, he would not want to fight on the opposite side of Krishna. It would make no sense. But he had special affection for Duryodhan, because Duryodhan was his club student, mace fighting student. So in order not to cause any confusion again, like you can see, he says, although they all belong to the same category of Vishnu, that they did not manifest all their potency. So in order not to have any confusion, Balaram says, okay, you know what? I'm going for pilgrimage. You guys can fight all you want. I don't want to be a party to all of this. So he left. But we all know very well, if Balaram was in that war, it would have been bloody, really bloody. You know, but always the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always established that, you know, even though he's non-different from the Personality of Godhead, he's one, Sankarshan, one, same. But he always, you know, knew, and even though he was the elder brother, but in that capacity, that full potency as not different from the Lord had to be subdued for this Leela to go on. Same thing here also with the Advaita Acharya Prabhu. I continue. So therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms play the part of devotees to instruct, please note, He said, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the part of devotees to instruct the conditioned souls how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaita Acharya especially intended to teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. The word Acharya means teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. So, more than being a Vishnu Tattva, more than having the same potency as the Lord, more than being the one who called the Lord to descend, the main purpose of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, like I said, he was the creator of the Sankirtan movement. The main purpose was to teach people to come to the platform of devotional service. So that was the main thing he had to do as a role. So whenever there was a choice to make, that had to come first. That the purpose of my presence in this Leela is to teach people how to become Krishna conscious, how to become devotees. And whatever I have to do to make people understand that point is what I have to do. I am older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have practically the same potency as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Advaita Acharya now. But because in this Leela, I am to help people become devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna, and because in this Leela, I have to help them understand the bhakti cult process, then I have to take a different stance. I have to take a different position. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business, this is important, no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as the servant of the Supreme. That was what he did. First and foremost, I am Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, irrespective of any other physical or internal or spiritual aspect there is. First is, I am the servant of the world. Such a bona fide Acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an Acharya to defy such imposters, using God, so posing as God before the innocent public. So, Advaita Acharya, from this last line, we can deduce that anyone who understands the mood of Advaita Acharya, so anyone who understands the mood of Advaita Acharya, which was to teach the living entities to become servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having that understanding at the back of our minds, anyone who is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is posing to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an imposter. An imposter means one who claims to be what he is not. And then having that understanding that there can only be one Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should use proper knowledge and understanding to defeat these imposters and put them in their place. So Advaita Acharya Prabhu was not only teaching how to surrender, he wasn't only teaching how to accept the Lord as the Supreme, but he was also teaching how to identify those who were not part and parcel, those who were not incarnations of the Lord. And in the scriptures we have descriptions of avatars. And that's why sometimes when I was in India, I was giving a lecture somewhere, and one lady who was very, very attached to Vivekananda, she asked me this question in front of everybody. And I knew it was a trap question. She said, "Do you think Vivekananda is God?" Now, I knew the answer to that question. It was very simple, no. But I wanted her to answer the question herself. Because it's, when you're preaching in a new place, it was a new place, we just started the temple, you have to be careful. I wanted to still say the truth, but in a way that people will see it for themselves. So I said, "Well, I will let you answer the question." She said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Do you know what an avatar is?" She said, "Yes." So what's an avatar? So an avatar is, she said, an avatar is when God descend in a different form and not like his real God form like that. I said, okay, you have an idea. I said, you know the type of avatars? She said, not really. So we went through them. Lila avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantara avatar, Shakti Avesh avatar. We went through all of them. I described each and every one. And I asked her, I said, you ask me if this person is God or an avatar. So now that we have seen the types of avatar, which one do you think he fits into? She was silent. So that automatically, and people could see immediately. So the first thing, when someone is posing as an avatar, I mean, and usually, because sometimes they know, so they try to hide under Shakti Avesh avatar that, oh, he was empowered to do this. But if you're empowered as a Shakti Avesh avatar, it means you would never at any point in time claim to be God. Because a Shakti Avesh avatar like Prabhupada, like Jesus, they never said they were God. They always say, I am only doing the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am trying to show you how to get to the Supreme Personality, how to get back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They never at any point in time say, I am God. So I asked her, I said, this person you've just called, does he say he's God? Does he allow people to call him God? Because one thing is not to say directly that you're God, but to allow people call you God is the same thing. If you're not God, then don't allow someone call you God. And there's so many of them like that. And this was one of the mentality that Advaita Acharya Prabhu was against. This fake impersonalist so-called God incarnations. The other day I saw online some Nityananda Swami something. And the interviewer who was interviewing asked him very straight, are you God? Very simple, straight question. Are you God? And he says, my disciples see me as divine. That's a simple question. Yes or no? When my disciples see me as divine. And he said, then the interviewer asked him again, did you at any point in time, tell your disciples that you are God? Still, his answer was not straight. He just, you know, he was not saying that he was trying not to say that he's not God, but at the same time, leaving that space that, yes, I could be God. But God is not in ignorance. Krishna says it very clearly. Bhagavad Gita chapter 7:7. Mata Parantaratnaya, who knows that verse? He said, answer Janandraya. 7:7. Yeah, Mata Paratara Nayat Kisti Anshu Janandraya. Mai Savamidam Patam Sutra Ganamanaiva. He says, O conqueror of worlds, there is no truth superior to me. He didn't say, maybe, maybe not. Boom! Everything rests upon me as spells are strung on a thread. Clear. So if someone is God or has an incarnation of God, there will be no maybe he will be very clear about it. Krishna was very clear so many places here that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not once, not twice, so many times. And that's the way to identify someone. What does he say about himself? What does the scripture say about him? An avatar or God. What does the scripture say about him? And what do high authorities say about this person? And finally, what are his works? His activities, what the scripture says, what he says, and what high authority says. But at the end of the day, when you look at all these so-called avatars, they are not, predicted in any scripture. Their works and their activities do not show that they are God or God avatars in any way. There are no higher authorities saying that they are God. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, where is this God thing coming from? You understand? So, today being a very auspicious day, we should pray to Advaita Acharya Prabhu to give us the understanding to do certain things which he showed, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, irrespective of any external situation, to become the servant of the Lord, and finally to have the understanding to be able to identify pseudo avatars, so-called avatars, and impersonalists. I'll briefly stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take them. 8:45. Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking about also some other sannyasis. One of the sannyasis, also known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vedacharya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I noticed in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned that it's a bit of a controversial topic between the Vaishnava sects. So, why do they not accept it?
Yeah, it's simple for some people, it's not simple for other people. I mean, despite, like you rightly said, despite the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some still don't see him in that light. And I'll give you an interesting example, which is outside of this whole thing, but we'll come back. Like, when Jesus resurrected and he appeared in front of his disciples, there was one who said, you know, until I put my finger through the holes that the nails made, Thomas, I say, I will not believe. He said, until I put my finger through the holes that the nail made in your hand, then I can believe that it's actually you that came back. So we have the same also in our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That some people just think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just some saint, just some holy man. But it was not Krishna. But that's their problem, not ours. Because we have proof. And sometimes they try to bring the stupid argument that show me one scripture where he was predicted. Same thing. They say he should be mentioned in the scripture, his activities, what he says, what higher authority says. They say, show me, but he's there. Shrimad Bhagavatam, I think it's 11th canto. Tvisa Akrishna, Sangopada Sudarsana. He comes, but he's not blackish. You know, and there's so many others. But like I said, for some people it's simple, for some it's not. And even when they have the proof right in front of them like this, it's still difficult. So it's their problem, not ours. We would like to call it a day. Thank you so much for listening. Forgive me my offenses. And I hope what I said has helped a little bit. Hare Krishna. Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.